What does it mean to be successful? Or maybe we should ask, should we be focused on success at all? It's something that is important. It's an important question for all of us. We want to be successful. We want to know that we have achieved something, that our life is meaningful. St. Teresa of Calcutta had a great quote about this, and I'm sure many of you have heard it. But I think it gives us a very important perspective on this question about success. She said, God has not called us to be successful, but faithful. God has not called us to be successful, but faithful. Real success is not measured by any worldly standard, is what she's saying. But rather, the extent to which we are faithful, that we endure this life to the end, when we will see God. Faithfulness, that is our standard. And the Beatitudes today are our blueprint for doing that. They teach us the way. The Beatitudes. This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel. And this is no ordinary sermon. For Matthew, he's thinking about the whole history of Israel as he's writing this Gospel. And there was another figure who also went up a mountain to teach, or rather to receive a teaching, and that was Moses. Jesus is the new Moses. And so this Sermon on the Mount harkens back to that event when Moses went up Mount Sinai in the desert to receive the law. God wrote the law with his own hand on the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. And then Moses brings it down to the people, and then begins the whole history of the people of Israel and the law. But here we have Jesus, who goes up another mountain. It's really a big hill, it's not really a mountain. But he goes up the mountain, and he, instead of receiving a law, he gives the law, because he is God, the lawgiver. Jesus gives the Beatitudes not as a code of ethics like the Ten Commandments. Sometimes we think of the Beatitudes and think, all I have to do is live the Beatitudes and I'll be perfect. And that's true to some extent. But you can't build a city on the Beatitudes. It's not a code of ethics like the Ten Commandments are, at least not human ethics. Imagine if we tried to build a society where the main principle was, blessed are they who mourn. We'd have people crying everywhere. You can't do that. You can't build a city on that. But it's not human standards that Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us to see things the way that God sees them. He's teaching us to see things in a new way. Success, then, is not measured by our own standards, by human standards of success, but by our endurance through this life to the next. This whole idea flies in the face of our cultural training on success, doesn't it? Our culture says, meek? Why would we be meek? That's just letting people walk all over you. You can't be successful if you're meek. Or what about clean of heart? Isn't that just prudishness or naivety? Isn't that just causing us to put aside the things that are important when it comes to success? And in particular, the world gives us three lies about success. And I want to focus on those briefly. The first lie about success is that it's based on materialism. Materialism. This idea says that things are what our measure of success is based on. Things insofar as they provide security and power. This way of measuring success is attractive precisely because it is measurable. We like things because we can measure our success with what we have, our money, our possessions. And it gives us a sense of control, a sense of security. We feel like we've made it. This is what the American dream in part is based on. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. He's not condemning ownership or private property, but he's saying that there is only one thing that matters, and that is the kingdom of God. That we have the kingdom of God here in the church on earth, but especially in heaven. That is the one thing that matters in our life. And so materialism, as attractive as it is, and as much as we want to measure our success with things, is not the answer. The second lie is, I would call, utopianism. We see society, we think that society can build a perfect kingdom here on earth, that we can measure our success based on what we've achieved as a society, as a people. But this is not the right way either. This normally devolves into a form of ideology, doesn't it? Think about the communist revolution of the past 150 years. We see that in a short amount of time, a group of people, a small group of people, convinced nearly a third of the world that they had the answer to happiness, the answer to human suffering, when in reality it caused only more suffering. It's the lie that says our way is the best, or my way is the best, and if everyone listened to me, then life would be different. Utopianism, though, is not the answer. Jesus says the world is passing away. Build your house on rock. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Not in this life, but in the next life. That's the key. If we think that we can be satisfied here, that we can build a perfect society here on this earth, then we need to think again. We've missed the point. Utopianism is not the answer. And a third one is a little bit more subtle. It's subtler. It's, I would call, individualism. And we can't build our success on this individualistic idea either. It's where we create standards for ourselves. I am the measure of my own success. And as long as I measure up to my own standards, I'll be all right. In our society, we see this and how it's turned into a cancerous relativism, and how people begin to see the world in terms of this narcissistic worldview, that I'm the measure of my success, and that whatever you do doesn't affect me, whatever I do doesn't affect you, and so truth just becomes relative. We see this in our own sham ethics of toleration in our culture. But it can even creep into the life of good Catholics, because we can become attached to our own ideas of holiness as well. We think that we've found the right way to be holy, or we found the only way to be a devout Catholic, and so we become attached to that, and we measure our success based on our own standards. We live in our own Catholic bubble and prevent other people from coming in, and we prevent ourselves from going out. But Jesus says, blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you. He would have us throw our card and play. He would have us go out into the world and live this faith in the mess of society, in the mess of our world, to bring him there. That's what the incarnation is. God dwelling among us. And we then going out and doing that in this world, living his life. So individualism, this turning inward and focusing on my own standards of success, that's not the answer either. So how then are we to be successful? The Beatitudes teach us that it's about seeing things through God's eyes, seeing things the way he sees them, that this life is not the end, but it's a pilgrimage, a journey. Man is on a journey to our true homeland. I remember I went on a pilgrimage once. It was a couple years ago, and I walked on the Camino de Santiago in Spain. Maybe some of you have done this before, but it's one of the ancient pilgrimages in Christendom. It goes from, there's several routes, but the main route goes from France all the way to the west coast of Spain, where the Cathedral of St. James is located in Santiago de Compostela. And this pilgrimage, many, many thousands of people walk it every year. And I had the bright idea that I was going to bring only a pair of sandals to hike in. Now, I thought this was a great idea at the time. You know, it sounds like I don't have to bring any other shoes, one pair of sandals, I'll be all right. But I learned very quickly, about 50 miles in and five blisters on each foot later, that this was a terrible idea. That trip, I learned a lot about endurance. But when I got to the end of the trip, I realized that all the suffering and all the blisters and all the miles and everything that I'd endured that it was all worth it, that it took on a new meaning because all those miles and the seemingly endless trek that we were going on was going somewhere. It was going to this beautiful destination where I had a real experience of Christ. God demands that we see things His way. We don't always see our progress here in this life. Sometimes it feels like we're stumbling, we're not really making any progress, we're not going anywhere. But He just wants us to take each step, to go one step closer to Him every day, to keep getting up and keep trying. We can't measure our relationships. We can't measure our success in our relationships with our family or with our spouse. But God asks us to just be faithful. If we could measure our success in relationships, we would become attached to this, and it wouldn't be good for us. We would just focus on the measure itself and not actually loving. God demands faithfulness, because when we are poor, when we find ourselves mourning or meek or persecuted, we can be confident that there is a God in heaven who sees us and who pours out His blessing upon us. That is the good news. Therefore, our lot in this life, brothers and sisters, our lot in this life is to endure and to trust in the promises of Christ. If we do that, we will be successful. And especially when no one else seems to be doing it. We trust that God sees and that we see things the way that He sees. And then at the end of our life, we pray that the Beatitudes are not just ideals for us, but that they truly are adjectives that describe us and describe our heart.